This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, if someone were to ask me in one word, what is the object of tazkiyat nafs? What is the goal? Why must I purify my heart? I would say the object of tazkiyatun nafs is to become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life. And without tazkiyatun nafs, without purifying my heart, without freeing my heart from all misguidance, from shirk, from kufr, from rebelliousness of any kind, and without making my heart submissive and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my life cannot happen. So the whole purpose of tazkiyatun nafs is to develop this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. I remind myself and you that in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abdah, which means, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not sufficient for his slave? Is Allah not sufficient for you? Now, answer, Bala ya Rabbal Alameen. Why not? Yes, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me. Allahu kafi. But that is not the, it's not a question of answering something. A question has been asked and I verbally answer the question. That is not the purpose and the idea behind that. The idea and the purpose behind it is to ask myself this question and say, Allah is asking me, am I not sufficient for you? What is my answer to Allah? And to remember and remind ourselves that our answer is not what we say with our tongue. Our answer is visible and should be visible and will be visible in our actions, in our decisions. Our answer will be visible in the fears in our heart or the lack of those fears. A person who really and sincerely believes that Allah is sufficient for them will not fear anything in creation whatsoever. Because the one who has Allah, who else does he need? Nobody. The one who has Allah, who else can he fear? Nobody. The one who has Allah, the only one he needs is Allah. The one who has Allah, the only one whose displeasure he fears, the only one whose pleasure he is seeking is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, nobody else. One of the most beautiful examples of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his dua after his experience in Taif. And what does his dua, at the end of the dua, what does he say? He said, O Allah, if you are pleased with me, then I do not care if anybody else is displeased with me. And if you are not pleased with me, then I will work and do my best and I will continue to work until you are pleased. Hatta tarda. Now this is in essence and in a line the whole purpose of Islam, which is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do in our lives must result in the rida of Allah, must result in the pleasure of Allah. If Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is pleased, then my life is successful. If Allah is not pleased, then my life is unsuccessful. No matter anything else. Right? This is where the problem comes, because we have set for ourselves standards of success and failure which are na'udhu billah, free from Allah. Right? We have removed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the equation. And that is why I remind myself always and tell you that factor Allah into the equation, because He is in it anyway. Whether we want to deny that, whether we want to na'udhu billah remove Allah from the equation or not, that doesn't happen. Allah is in the equation. And what's that equation? The equation is the equation leading to success or failure. If that equation is in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me, if I live my life in a way where Allah is pleased with me, then that equation results in success. And if it is the opposite, then it results in failure. I am the one responsible. Now, having Allah in my life, this awareness, this is a function of awareness, right? Allah is there in the equation. But do we know this? Do we know this? Because if we know this, then our lives will be characterized by two things. One is complete confidence and tranquility and a lack of fear of anything other than Allah. And the second one is our lives will be characterized by a consciousness never to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what. The wealth of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in two parts. One, as a protection from sin. When I'm aware that Allah is with me, when I'm aware that Allah is in my life, then I will never consciously and deliberately do anything to displease Him, Jalla Jalalu. This is a proof and evidence that I am aware of the presence of Allah Jalla Jalalu in my life, that I will never consciously commit a sin. I will fulfill all my duties and I will not do anything which Allah has prohibited. This is the evidence. The first one, which is protection from sin. And the second one is freedom from fear. Because if Allah is in my life, then who do I fear? Why should I fear anybody? Whether it is external conditions, economy, politics, weather, you name it. Or whether it is people, this one in power, that one in power, this may happen, that may happen. Or it is non-people issues. For example, one of the big things today is COVID. So fear, oh, I might get COVID, I might die, I might be sick. And if it is not COVID, it's something else. There's no shortage of diseases and stuff. Complete lack of fear of any of these things. And say, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praise and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what condition I might be in. And I have this complete faith and trust that my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu will protect me from anything which is harmful to me. Because this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, if you do my work, Wallahu yasimuka minan nas. Allah will protect you from the people. This is in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa sallam, and he ordered him to do the work of Islam, to preach, and he said, Allah will protect you. So when we have this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, immediately and instantly there are two major benefits in this life itself. Protection from sin and protection from fear. That is right here in this life. And then of course, if a person lives a life which is free from sin, and by free from sin I mean that the person is not going to deliberately commit anything wrong. And because we are human, sometimes we may forget, sometimes out of something or the other, if we do something wrong, then immediately we make istighfar, we repent, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pardon, and we know that alhamdulillah, inshaAllah, as long as we are seeking pardon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon us and will forgive us. We know this. So when a person lives a life like this, then automatically in the akhirah, inshaAllah, this person will not be humiliated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this person from humiliation, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Jannah. Allah inshallah will grant Jannah to a person like that. Now, one of the most beautiful ayat with regard to the awareness of Allah in our lives is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah comes in the middle of the ayat relating to the fasting of Ramadan. This is ayat number 186. This set of ayat begins where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says, O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become muttaqoon. I remind myself and you that all the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the acts of worship are not acts of worship. Their goal is not the act itself. Every act of worship has a goal. We do this in order to achieve that. This is the goal. For example, as far as salah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar, that the salah separates us from the fahushat and munkarat. The salah makes us obedient to Allah, and the salah separates us from all forms of sin and all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of salah is to free our lives from sin and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salah is not for itself. Similarly, fasting, the purpose of fasting is la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may become muttaqoon. That is the reason why fasting is prescribed, where during a specified period of time, from sunrise to sunset, we do not eat or drink or do something which is halal for us, which Allah has permitted. But during that period of time, we don't do that for no reason other than that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that we should behave in this way. Right? There's no reason. We don't fast for to lose weight or to control our sugar or something. The reason for fasting is because Allah said so. And why do we do that? To reinforce the fact that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the reason for our existence. We have been created for obedience. We must obey, and this obedience is something which is critical for our success in this life and the next. That is the reason we fast, to become muttaqoon. Who is a muttaqi? A muttaqi is somebody who is constantly concerned about the pleasure of Allah, who constantly fears the displeasure of Allah. Therefore, his whole life, every action of his, every speech of his, every condition that he is in or she is in, they are conscious of this, and they do their best to ensure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not displeased with them in any way at any point in time. This is the purpose of fasting. It's not for anything else. La'allakum tattaqu, so that you become pious. We give zakat for what? So that our wealth is purified. All the ibadat in Islam are in order to achieve a higher goal. Now, in the middle of these ayat of fasting comes this ayah, which I recited for you, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَعَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my slave asks about me, I am close to him and I am near to him. When he asks about me, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I am indeed near to him. And obviously, if I am near to him, what does he do? I respond to the dua of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So then let him obey me and have faith in me, believe in me, so that they may be rightly guided. Now see this beautiful ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, just by asking, just the question of asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking about his greatness, asking about what he wants, asking about what pleases him, this itself is an act of ibadah and draws us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I become close to my slave. Obviously, if the slave is close to his Rabb, what will he do? He will ask him. He make dua and he said, oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, I need this. I am your slave. So the action itself, the of asking, draws him close to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And then he makes dua. And see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of this thing, Allah is saying, I listen to his dua, I accept his supplication. So this dua, inshallah, is accepted. Whenever we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is accepted. Now, this ayat is in the middle of the ayat of Ramadan, but the meaning of the ayat is not restricted to Ramadan. Anytime. So Allah is saying, when my slave asks me, I will accept his dua, I will give him what he wants. But Allah put two conditions. Allah says, let him obey me and let him have faith in me. Let him have faith in me. So the issue of obedience and faith is that we never do anything to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, therefore they will be rightly guided. So this is the benefit of the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our life, that our duas become acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me therefore give you an assignment, and that is to identify actions and speech, what we say, what we do in our daily lives, and to ask about their consequences in this life and what is the result of these things in the Akhirah, and what do we think we need to change in our lives. Just to give you a very simple example, Rasulullah said, a smile is sadaqah, right? See the connection between the material and the spiritual. This is something which is, we seem to have completely lost track of it. We forget the fact that every action of ours, there has a spiritual reflection. It reflects on the spirit, and it either does something good for it or it does something bad for it. So it's up to us what we want to happen with regard to our spirit. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a smile is sadaqah. What is sadaqah? Sadaqah is charity, meaning that charity has a reward. And all, what did I do? All I did was smile. So if I just smile, if I just have a cheerful countenance, if I just meet people and I greet people, I am actually doing ibadah. I am worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am doing actions which are actions of ibadah. And these actions are actions which will gain for me reward before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am giving you the example of only one thing, but think about all that we do in our lives. Every single thing has a consequence, right? Everything has a consequence. So keep that in mind and say, how can we do things which will give us positive consequences? Now take again the same smile example. I asked you to reflect on the effect of this, of our actions in this life and the next. What is the effect of smiling? The effect of smiling is we make friends. The effect of smiling is it just makes people around us happier, right? So the smile has a positive effect right here. And then of course it has a positive effect also in the hereafter. So it's something that is so simple. And then of course, you know, anything else that we talk about which has a effect in this life as well as the next life. So do give this some thought and think about what this means. Another diagnostic tool, if we think about this and say, we are talking about the sense of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. In Suratul Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Allah said, which means the believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, they feel a fear, they feel a sense of awe and glory and majesty, and their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty and awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When He is just mentioned, when they hear, for example, Allahu Akbar in the Adhan, the mention of Allah has an effect on the heart. And when His ayat are recited unto them, that is the Quran al-Kareem, or they see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them, these ayat increase their iman, increase their faith. Zadatum iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they put their trust and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so three things that Allah mentioned which are internal. The heart shivers with the glory and majesty of Allah. The iman increases because of the recitation of Quran and seeing the signs of Allah around them. And as a result of these two things, they have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. Then these are the people who establish a salah, not just pray when they feel like praying, establish the salah and spend out of what we have provided them. So two actions in the external world, which is they establish salah, they pay zakat, and they give more in terms of sadaqat and charity. Allah said they are the one, it is these people who are the true believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the stamp of approval of being a believer to people who do these five things, three internal and two external. And then Allah says it is they who are the true believers, for them are grades and stages of honor with their Rabb, and forgiveness and an honorable provision, rizqun kareem, beautiful risk in this dunya and in the akhirah, inshallah, Jannah. Now, question is, are we there? Are we at least on the journey there? That is the thing to ask. Right? I'm not sitting here doing tafsir of the Quran. I just recited for you the ayat and the translation. The question is to reflect on this and then say, if these are the five things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, and then those people who have those five things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ula'ika humul mu'minuna haqqa. Truly these are the people who are the true believers. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's certifying the iman of people. Am I among them? Can I be counted among them? Right? This is the question to ask ourselves. Do I think I am among those people who Allah Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned in this ayah? Do I have these qualities? Do I have these qualities? Because if I don't have these qualities, then what's happening to me? And if I do have these qualities, alhamdulillah, I am very pleased. And if I do not have these qualities, then I should work to get these qualities. What do I need to do? Therefore, the question to ask myself is, what do I need to do to be somebody whose heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whose heart beats for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who whose heart is responsive to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And if the answer is, well, I would like to be there, but I'm not there yet, then I need to work to make sure that happens. Now, what are the things that work against this? One is useless talk. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, do not talk excessively without remembering Allah. Because such excessive talk without the mention of Allah causes the heart to harden, and the person furthest from Allah is a person with a hard heart. And this is in Tirmidhi. Repeat that. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, do not talk excessively without remembering Allah. So two things here. One is, don't talk too much. And secondly, whenever you talk, make sure that you mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your talk. Now today, think about our social lives. Almost entirely, we talk about things which are really useless. Take politics, for example. One of our big topics of discussion is politics. Most of us have absolutely no influence in that area. But we'll talk. We talk about what this one should have done, that one should have done, so on. Useless talk, right? So also economy. Nowadays it's COVID. Continuously, day and night, we are talking about COVID. So many people died, so many people are infected. In this state, that happened, that state, this happened, this country, that country. What is the use of this talk? All that it does, it makes you feel depressed. It makes you feel as if there is great musibat, this great calamity that is happening. And, one day it will catch me. What is the point of that? Take your precautions, get yourself vaccinated, take your booster shots or whatever it is, and then get on with your life. I mean, this continuously talking about this thing over and over again is very stupid. It's something that has no value whatsoever. Rasulullah said, do not do all this excessive talking. If you have to talk, then also make sure that you continuously remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning in your talk, you talk about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he said, otherwise your hearts will become hard. Your hearts will become hard. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person furthest away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a person with a hard heart. May Allah protect us from having hard hearts. Second cause is forgetfulness. Again, this is a result of useless talk. Because if I am talking all kinds of useless things, then I am forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Narrated Sauban radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people will soon summon one another to attack you, as people when eating invite others to share their dish. Someone asked, will that be because of our small numbers at the time, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, You will be numerous at that time, but you will be scum and rubbish like that carried down on a torrent, on the top of the flood. And Allah will remove fear and respect of you from the breast of your enemy. Allah will remove your fear from the heart of your enemy, and He will put wahan into your hearts. They asked Him, what is wahan, Ya Rasulullah? And He said, love of the world and dislike of death. Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. And this is in hadith in Abu Dawood. Now, see this hadith. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, even though you will be massive in numbers, you will have no respect. You will not be respected. You will not be feared. People will not have no fear in harming you. People will have no fear in putting you down and oppressing you. Aren't we seeing this in life today? We're seeing this all the time. Right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is because of how you behave, what you do. So Allah will remove your fear from the hearts of your enemy. So your enemy will feel free to attack you and to destroy you, to try to destroy you. And He will put fear into your hearts. He'll put this thing called wahan. What is wahan? Wahan is love of dunya and fear of death. Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. Seriously, we need to look in the mirror, ask ourselves, what is the condition of my heart? Right? Now, what is the cause of wahan? Which is a lack of yaqeen in the akhirah. Hubbu dunya and karahiyatul maut, both are because of a lack of yaqeen in the akhirah. Because when we know, if we have this complete certainty that the real life, everlasting life is in the akhirah, then we will work to beautify that akhirah. Through our charity, through our ibadah, through our good living, pious living, we will try our best to make sure that the akhirah, my life in the hereafter, is very beautiful. It's very, very nice. If I don't do that, then it means I don't have faith in that akhirah. You know, Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he came to Makkah for Umrah, and he asked people if any of the Tabi'un were there in Makkah, and they took him to one of the Tabi'in, radiallahu anhu, rahmatullahi alayhi. So Al-Walid was the Banu Umayya Khalifa immediately after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, right? So Al-Walid asked him, he said, why do I fear death? He said, I'm afraid of death. Why do I fear death? Karahiyatul maut. This person told him, he said, because your palace is here in this dunya and you have not done anything to build your akhirah. So naturally you are afraid because you don't want to go to a place which you have done nothing for. So you don't want to go. And this is the love of dunya. So you love to be here, and the more you love to be here, the more you will beautify this place. And that means to that extent the other place will be left abandoned. And this love will increase your fear of going there. So hubbu dunya and karahiyatul maut are related. The more hubbu dunya we have, the more karahiyatul maut we will have. Because the two are related. They are both the same thing, right? If you look at it in one way. I remember I was sitting in doctor's office once, many years, about maybe 25 years ago, when an old man, he came, and he was, you know, when he entered the doctor's office, I got a very strong smell of urine. So obviously it means that he was incontinent, and he was bent almost double, almost like in a state of ruku, and he was using a walker and walking with great difficulty. So he's obviously somebody whose life couldn't have been pleasant, right? Because he's bent over with pain, with arthritis, and he's walking with a walker, and he's incontinent. So he came and he said, I want to see the doctor immediately. So the nurse said, well, you know, do you have an appointment? He said, no. So she said, well, we can't, you can't just see him like that because you have to get an appointment. He said, no, it's an emergency. She said, what's happening? So he shows the top of his head. There's some kind of discoloration. He said, I think this is skin cancer with the exposure to the sun. So I have to see him. This is an emergency. I'm thinking to myself, what is this man living for? I mean, look at his life. He is in a mess. He is old. He is weak. He's got arthritis. He's in pain. He's got incontinence. He can hardly walk. And he wants to live. That his love for life is such that despite all that, he wants to live. He's not saying, well, you know what, let it be cancer, let it be anything. I mean, to hell with this. Life is enough. I'm ready to go. No. Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. The more we love this dunya, my brothers and sisters, the more you're going to fear death. The way to get out of this is take this thing and throw it there. Right? Throw the ball, chase the ball. What's the ball? The ball is your wealth converted to charity. Your wealth converted to actions of goodness, which will be for us, waiting for us when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then chase the ball. So when we do that, then we have no... Alhamdulillah, remember, when we say we don't love this dunya, it doesn't mean we are ungrateful. Alhamdulillah, we are very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He gave us. This is part of gratitude, this is part of shukr. We say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But we don't love that thing. We don't want to grab onto that. We don't want to, you know, sacrifice anything for this. Today, see, look at life, and people are... Brothers and sisters are fighting each other. People are fighting their parents for property. One house, one, you know, piece of land or whatever it is. Imagine that. Now you are destroying your relationships of the Raham. You're destroying your relationships, blood relationships, which are so important in Islam. You are building up ill feeling about each other. You hate each other. Your own brother, your own blood brother, you hate him because of money and this and that and the other. Right? What kind of life is this? And then when we go on the Day of Judgment, what is going to happen? We will answer for all of this. So seriously, let us look at this and say, if I am aware of Allah in my life, what must I do? I must act according to that. Meaning, I must act in ways which show that I want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state when He is pleased with me. This is the meaning of awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean our hearts from everything except His noor, everything except His khashiyat, everything except His glory and majesty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the love of His Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts so that we live our lives in a way that He lived His life and left for us this beautiful example that we should emulate Him and follow Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.